welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's teaching is a continuation of the topic on false teachers. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave continues answering this hard question with a solid answer. Offered up by mercy's hand.
Then we have the era of Balaam for prophet. You might recall in Numbers chapter 22 through 24, we're told that Balaam was a prophet. As the children of Israel were in the wilderness on their way to possess the promised land, Balak, who was the king of Moab, saw the multitude in the desert, saw them as a threat to his people. So he sent for Balaam the prophet. And he asked him, because he knows that the words that Balaam says comes to pass, and he asked him, he says, look, I will pay you really well for you to look over the people of Israel and to cast down a curse upon them. And when you read this account, you find that Balaam goes and inquires of the Lord. The Lord says not to go with these men. Don't do it. So that tells me that he is an actual prophet of God, not just a prophet of any god, but a prophet of the one true God. He goes to inquire of the Lord. And he says, don't go with these men. The men leave. They come back with a better offer. So Balaam goes again to the Lord. Lord tells him to go with the men. Then he meets Balak, the king of Moab, three times. Balak brings Balaam up on a hill, offering him silver and gold to honor for himself. And yet when Balaam tries to curse Israel, instead only blessings come out. Then we're told in Revelation 2:14, that Balaam could not curse God, could not curse Israel. And so because of that, he puts a stumbling block before Israel. Because he basically goes, look, I'm not going to be able to curse the people. But here's something, Balak, you can do. Send your really hot women down there, and they will play the harlot, and then God will have to punish his people. Wow. How evil and wicked do you have to be that you know God so well and you know what he's going to do because what he expects of his people. But this is where Israel has always struggled and, you know, and things like that. And so this is what you could do. And then God will get him. And there's nothing better than that. I don't care what kind of this would be the best thing to do. Wow. A stumbling block. And why does he do that? Because he cares more about getting paid than obeying God. He cares more about money. Balaam, for money and greed, he sold them out. As we could see from Balaam, he had no loyalties even with God. He cared only about himself, and he was willing to suppress the truth in order to increase his income. The false teachers that you will see always pleading for money. I will send you this prayer cloth. If you will send in this, I will do this for you, and you can get all my CDs and how you can have wealth and health and, you know, and it's always about the money. It's all about the money. In 2 Peter 2:15, we see that Balaam was merchandising for your gift for money. It was greed, pure and simple, was Balaam's God more than anything else, and it leads to false ministry. And I think that that speaks today of the health and wealth, the prosperity gospel. And then you have the rebellion of Korah. Korah's rebellion was because of envy. I actually want you to go there. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and the sons of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with the sons of children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Okay, in Exodus 28, verses 1 and verse 41, God makes it very clear that he's the one that chose Moses and he's the one that chose Aaron and his sons to be priests. God's the one that chose. They didn't lift themselves up. God's the one that put that anointing upon them. And so when Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near," which I think is pretty amazing. So Korah's rebellion is pretty much because of envy. Who made you boss? God. You know? Moses, who made you the big cheese? I have just as much right as anyone else to determine the direction of the nation. And because of his rebellion, his envy, Korah leads this rebellion that led to the death of thousands of people. Go to verse 31 here. Moses has just gotten done speaking. It says, "Now it came to pass as he finished speaking all these words that the ground split apart under them. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the men with Korah and with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them and they perished from among the assembly." It doesn't say this, but if I was Moses, I'd go, "Any more questions? Anybody want to add anything?" You know? But he doesn't do that. Here's the thing. Korah was not a priest. He was a Levite whose business was to attend to the outward service of the tabernacle. The Levites were not the ones that were anointed. The priesthood was the one that was anointed. And here's the thing that I find very interesting. Who says you're the boss? Who says you're the anointed? I'm just as good as anyone. I am as anointed as you are. And I find this very fascinating. Because Korah's rebellion is all about who made you boss, who gave you this special authority, basically who gave you this anointing? God did. And when you have a minister completely, constantly, time and time again saying, "Don't you touch the Lord's anointed. You know, the anointing is upon me and the anointing is being cast out." It is someone that is trying to push their way into a calling or anointing that truly has not been given to them. If you have to speak about your anointing, you have none. And that's Korah. It's false worship is what it is. Inflated, independent with a sense of their own self-importance, false teachers openly rebel against the authority of God's word and the person of authority that God has put in place. And so they claim their own anointing. They dare approach God as worshipers apart from him. They ignore his claims. They worship God falsely because they choose to worship God in their own way, how they want to do it, not in the way that God himself has set up through the priesthood. And so I would say Korah's rebellion is one of false worship and also a false claim that you have an anointing that you don't have. This is the signs and wonders group. This is the group that calls down strange fire upon the altar that we read about in Leviticus. It's not from the Lord. It's not from the Lord at all. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." I like what they're saying. That's why I want to go and listen to him or to her. They love to have, they have itching ears, or they love to have their ears tickled, is what it says in the King James Version. And it's interesting because there's a person of the emerging church movement called Phyllis Tickle. And this is exactly the kind of, you can't make this stuff up. And she is teaching a different gospel. She is not of the prosperity movement. She's of the emerging church movement. And she believes that the word of God should be taken back from the laity and put it in the responsible hands of the leaders of the church. She's against sola scriptura, sola fide. She's against all the five solas. And she doesn't think that we can have the word of God in our hands. She's tickling ears. She's pushing contemplative prayer and the mystics of the desert fathers and all this weird stuff. Because there's a mystical way that you can get to know God. And for her, a lot of people are going after that. And that's her name, Phyllis Tickle. If there's ever a false doctrine out there that people want to believe in because it sounds so good, could it get any better than God wants you healthy and wealthy all the time? That's awesome. Where do I sign up for that? You know? That's great. You're saying that's Jesus' gospel? Yep. Oh, yeah. I want to be a Christian now. Why wouldn't you? You know? If this was ever to fall under some, it's the prosperity movement. It's the word faith movement. The father of the word faith movement is said to be Kenneth Hagin, but it really isn't. It's a guy by name of E.W. Kenyon. Kenneth Hagin has plagiarized pretty much all of what E.W. Kenyon has ever taught on. And E.W. Kenyon got most of his false theology at the turn of the century, of the 19th century, from a metaphysical teaching known as the New Thought. It was the brainchild of a guy by name of Phineas Quimby. I'm sorry, I just can't ever follow anybody with last name Quimby. That's just not going to work for me. It was widely accepted at the time by Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of the Christian Science movement. Everything was dependent on Dr. Quimby's new thought that he had come up with. The summary of the new thought was a system of cultic beliefs that taught true reality is spiritual, that the spiritual is the cause of all physical effects, and that the human mind, through positive confession, has the power to create its own reality, either health, wealth, sickness, or poverty. So E.W. Kenyon was influenced by this, and he in turn influenced Kenneth Hagin, who in turn influenced Kevin Copeland, who influenced Charles Capp, Fred Price, Benny Hinn, Joyce Myers, Joel Osteen, and Dennis Leonard, who, by the way, is now coming back into town. Yes, really. He just bought some property in Aurora, so he's coming back. All believe that you can create your own wealth, health through positive confession. Yes, it's very cultic in origin, and it does not come from the Bible. Now, the Bible makes it very clear in Deuteronomy that if you speak something and it does not come to pass, you're a false teacher. It's pretty basic. It's pretty simple. But I would say the person that probably has made the prosperity movement probably the most popular is a guy by name of Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn is a false prophet. The reason we know he's a false prophet is because he has done what is called prophesy, and it hasn't come to pass on many occasions. And so if somebody speaks a prophecy and doesn't come to pass, and they don't come before you and ask for forgiveness and say, I just kind of got caught up in the moment, I just need to be kept accountable not to do that again, whatever it is, I get that. You know, some people do that, and they've actually asked forgiveness, and they're wrong. Some people have been guilty of that in Calvary Chapel, of the timing of the rapture. Got a little caught up. I know it's going to happen this time, and it wasn't. We have a very dear brother in the faith that got really caught up in Y2K. He was the voice. It's going to happen. Freaked me out when I first heard it. Man, I think it was 1996 when I first heard about this, and I'm going, you're kidding me. And I was with another Calvary Chapel pastor here, very well known very large congregation. We were sitting there. Maybe we need to buy some, you know, big bins and start storing up food. Oh, this is going to be a catastrophe. Because it was the first time I ever heard about it. And then some sane voices of John Michaels and Dave Hunt and some of these other guys kind of followed up and just said, no, that's not going to happen. But boy, they were running with it, and other people running with it, and those who sold all those supplies for Y2K made a mint. Yeah. a mint, a killing. It's like the gold rush. The people who made money were the ones who were selling the supplies. They're the ones who made money. It wasn't one looking for gold. And it's the same thing, any sort of apocalyptic thing, but here's a kit to prepare you for it. That's the person that's going to be making bank. So it happens, and then they apologize for it. They realize they got caught up, and it happens. I get that. But when you don't come back and say, I'm wrong, and you keep on making the wrong prophecy over and over and over again, you're a false prophet. You're a heretic. One of the things that Benny Hinn's been saying recently is that Jesus himself is physically going to show himself at his crusades. He's been saying that time and time again for the last year and a half, professing that the last crusade we actually saw Jesus there. Jesus tells us if you ever say, you know, hear anybody say, I'm over here or over there, they're a liar. He's at the right hand of the Father. He is not going to physically touch down here on this earth until the second coming. He's not going to be bopping in and out. Hey, how you guys doing? He's not going to do that. In 1989, Benny Hinn said, the Spirit of God tells me an earthquake will hit the east coast of America and destroy much in the 90s. Never happened. On January 1st, 1990, Hinn attempted to delude his followers into believing that God spoke to him and revealed the fate of Fidel Castro in Cuba as well as homosexuals in America. This is what he said about Fidel Castro. The Spirit tells me Fidel Castro will die in the 90s. He's still alive, by the way. It's 2014. Oh my, some will try to kill him and they will not succeed, but there will come a change in his physical health and he will not stay in power and Q will be visited of God. So we have these prophecies here of what's going to happen. It doesn't happen. The Spirit has revealed to me. Not only did the Holy Spirit reveal to Benny Hinn that Castro would die in the 90s, of course that didn't happen, but he also said Almighty God revealed to him both the timing and the method through which homosexuals in America would be destroyed. The Lord also told me in the mid-90s, about 94, 95, no later than that, God will destroy the homosexual community of America when he said that there was a round of applause. But he did not destroy it with what many minds have thought to be. He will destroy it with fire, and many will turn and be saved, and many will rebel and be destroyed. 1993, Hinn pontificated that because Jesus promised that he would return within a generation of Israel's restoration in 1948, and because a generation of you is 51.5 years, only 6 years remain before the Christ would come back to rapture the saints. 7 years later, on March 29, 2000, he began predicting that Jesus would appear physically in his crusades. Again, according to him, the Lord spoke to him. In fact, the Lord spoke to him audibly. And the word Lord came to him saying, tell Benny I'm going to appear physically on the platform at the meetings. That's a great ticket, man, if you can get that to go see that. It is. In October 19th, 1999, he predicted that instead of burying the dead, people around the world were going to line up caskets around the television sets, place their hands on the dead, take those hands of the dead, place them on TV screens, then marvel as the loved ones arose from the dead. Here's how Hinn put it. But here's first what I see for TBN. You're going to have people raised from the dead watching this network. You're going to have people raised from the dead watching TBN. I'm telling you, I see this in the spirit. It's going to be awesome. Jesus, I give you praise for this, that people around the world, maybe not so much in America, people around the world who will lose loved ones will say to the undertakers, not yet. I want to take my dead loved one and place him in front of that TV set for 24 hours. I see rows of caskets lining up in front of the TV set. I see them bring them closer to the TV set, and as people are coming closer, I see loved ones picking up the hands of the dead and letting them touch the screen, and people are getting raised as their hands are touching that screen. That was in 1999. I haven't heard of it since then. Here in Denver, September 17th, 1999, Benny Hinn said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll place a curse on every man and every woman that will stretch his hand against this anointing. The prosperity preachers say that a lot, by the way. Don't you touch his anointing. He says, I curse that man who dares to speak a word against this ministry. After having pronounced a curse on his enemies and a blessing on his friends, Hinn explains that while this anointing is on him, his pronouncements cannot fail. In other words, he's infallible, rather like the Pope or God. He says, under this anointing, words I speak cannot fall to the ground. Everything I say happens. Well, I came out against what he had to say at that time, And I said that that he was a false prophet and you shouldn't go to his crusade. And he does have absolutely no anointing from God whatsoever. So according to Benny Hinn, I've stretched out my hand against his anointing and that I have a curse on me. When the book of Jude, when I taught through the book of Jude many years ago, it went on the radio. This is about 6 or 7 years ago. And I talked about this and that how Benny Hinn is a false prophet. And I had someone call me. And he said, I just touched the Lord's anointed, and that I am now cursed, and that we would be off the radio in 6 months. Well, since that time, we're now on twice a day. We're on Sundays. We're also on Grace TV. So, neener, neener, neener. So what that means is the person who called, they're a false prophet. They're a false prophet. I believe that the reason that people follow Benny Hinn and the Kenneth Copelands and guys like that and go to the TBN network and whatnot is because they like what they're hearing. They're having their ears tickled. And you have people that are saying, and I'm here to tell you something. Look at me. I got my yachts. I got my two mansions. I drive Rolls Royces. I have this. I have that. And you're going, well, it must be true. No, it's a Ponzi scheme. Those who get it in first, yeah, it's going to do that. When you're saying, hey, send some money in and I'll bless you, who's the one that's really getting blessed? The one that you're sending the money to. And so, of course, Benny Hinn's filthy rich, as well as Kenneth Copeland and everybody else that are selling this garbage because they're fleecing the people. And the ministers that are preaching that, who do you think they're preaching it to? A crowd that's giving them money, that's making them wealthy. And they're going, this is a great gig. You should all get churches and do this. But it only works for those who are professing that. It doesn't work for the actual layperson out there. But man, they get the juices going and everything else. I look at the prosperity gospel and what they're preaching, and Kenneth Copeland on his website says, God's will concerning financial prosperity and abundance is clearly revealed in the scriptures. God's will is prosperity. And so he goes on, it says, the man who holds to poverty rejects the establishment of the covenant. The man who holds to the covenant rejects poverty. Faith in the covenant pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. God's will is prosperity. And he has one teaching after another. Poverty is an evil spirit. Prosperity is a major requirement in the establishment of God's will. God's will is for people to live in abundance, is what he says. Now, when I look at God's word, and when I look at Matthew 6:19, where he tells us, do not store up treasures on earth. Well, what prosperity stuff are you talking about? It's all stuff here on this earth. But God's word says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why don't you go to Matthew 13 here? This is the parable of the sower. Verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in the parable saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. Verse 4, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came, devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was dried up, they were scorched because they had no root. There they withered. Some fell among the thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Well, that concludes today's edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Dave continues the series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services.
And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.